Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
...products and our best razor for just $5. Only at dollarshaveclub.com/radio. That's dollarshaveclub.com/radio.
It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class as the final week of the month of September sets sail. Plenty to talk about. We'll look back at Iowa, Wisconsin on Saturday night at Kinnick Stadium. We'll talk about that, get your reactions to it. Talk with Mike Colas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette and get his thoughts about it as well. A wild sports weekend. We will talk about that and a whole lot more. It is the Gym Class getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. And from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you into the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer, he once again here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, great place to stop on by. Hope you made it there during the long weekend. And signed up for the Third Base Mug Club. For $25, you get a lifetime membership of happy hour price beers and a free appetizer. With every $100 you spend on food and drinks, stop on by, join today. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. We do appreciate it. And it would have been a great place to watch a lot of terrific, terrific sports over the weekend. And how are you doing, Mark? Good afternoon.
Doing great, enjoying the weather, enjoying a great sports weekend, and certainly a lot to chew on between college football, pro football, and golf.
Yeah, we'll get it all. We'll get it all coming up here in just a little bit. But yeah, we start off with, of course, Iowa and Wisconsin. I know people want to talk about that, and we want to discuss it with you out there. And the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line open at 319-366-1600. Talk with Mike Colas about that. Phone lines open as well. Same number, 319-366-1600. Wisconsin coming away with the victory as they had a great fourth quarter. And I know when we got together for our pregame show before the boom, we were all talking about what we thought was going to be the defining moment or what was going to be the X factor as far as that game was Saturday night. And I think if you took a list, wrote down five names, I don't think Alex Hornibrook would have been in that top five. And he turned out maybe to be that X factor that Wisconsin needed and helped propel the Badgers to that big victory.
Well, yeah, Hornibrook was very, very good. And I said on the pregame that I never trusted him. 205 yards passing, three touchdowns, only sacked once. Very efficient. Same with Nate Stanley for Iowa. I thought both quarterbacks played very, very well, but Hornibrook was that much more of a difference. Such an even game. Of course, the score deceiving because Wisconsin scored with 16 seconds left. But you look at the statistics, and a total offensive yards, there's 9 yards difference. Iowa 404, Wisconsin 415. It all came down to special teams, the turnovers, and it was plain and simple. That was it.
You cannot have three turnovers at home in a game of that magnitude and come away with a victory. Special teams were not too special for the Hawkeyes, and I know people after the game yesterday complaining about play calling, etc. I got to say, except for two plays, I did not have a problem with the play calling for the Iowa football team.
Two kind of critical plays, though.
Two critical, yes. And great place to start right there. First drive of the game going down inside the 10-yard line, down to about the, what was it, five? Fourth and one on the 5-yard line. Needed a full yard to get to the four. Iowa was in a hurry up. They were going to go a little tempo at that time. and I think a quarterback sneak would have worked. However, after the play was stopped and everybody had to regroup a little bit, you were not going to be able to successfully run a full yard sneak against the Wisconsin defense in that situation. I think it was not the right play call there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the infamous double jet sweep also, I think, was...
Not the time or place for that.
Not a double one. Not two in a row like that. And I just think that, other than that, though, I didn't have a particular problem with play calling. How about you?
Not necessarily, no. I agree. Those two did not work. It's a classic...
yeah, if they work, on, then
if they work,
we're not talking.
Fine. Yeah. But, yeah, I question those at the time, and I still do. Poll question, KGYMRadio.com. You can find it at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What was more disappointing in Iowa's loss to Wisconsin? Play calling or special teams miscues? Thanks to Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John. Speaking of Emil's, we'll get to our pick six results.
I bet we
as
will.
Well.
I bet you we will. I bet you we will. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in.
Yeah, very quite a few texts trickling in. 8092. Wisconsin did not win the game. Iowa lost the game with all their turnovers and penalties. 78-54. Iowa-Wisconsin game really came down to four plays. All four went against Iowa, and adding Iowa mistakes, we lose. 66-57, I thought the play calling was great. I feel really good about this team after the game. I know it's a tough loss, but the future is very bright. Lots of good energy on the team and a ton of young players.
I would agree with most of those assessments out there. It was a game that certainly Iowa, did they have it locked up all the way? No. Did Iowa have a good opportunity to win that game? If they executed down the stretch, I think so. Fact is, at home, you just can't have the mistakes and give games, help to give the games away like they did on Saturday night.
Gronewig's fumble near midfield, or actually inside Wisconsin territory, Iowa would have had great field position. That was kind of a fluke. Wisconsin player got a lot of credit for quote-unquote poking it out of his arms, but it really didn't. It just kind of squirted out of Gronewig's.
Tried to change and...
Yeah, and Iowa would have great... Now, Wisconsin didn't capitalize there, as I recall. But Iowa would have had great field position there in Wisconsin territory. Back to the text line, our friend Joel in Muscatine. His Muskies 4-1, by the way.
Yes, they are.
You can't turn it over on special teams. Inexperienced players learned invaluable lessons. Not everyone can be perfect like my Dolphins. Never pictured Joel a Dolphin fan.
Yeah, another Dolphin fan.
I thought he'd be an NFC North guy, you know.
Well, or the Chiefs are 3-0 as well.
97-66, play young more, Sergeant less.
Sergeant didn't play a ton in that game. It was Ivory Kelly Martin and a little bit of Torrin Young.
Kelly Martin carried it 14 times, Torrin Young 6, Makai Sergeant 6.
Yeah. Yeah. 319-366-1600. You'd like to weigh in on that. Was it a situation where Wisconsin, with their execution in the fourth quarter and the help of the Iowa miscues, just kind of won the game on their own? Hornibrook directed terrific drive there at the end and punctuated yet again by an Iowa linebacker trying to cover a wide receiver for the touchdown. And Hockaday wasn't in awful position. That was a heck of a throw. Hornibrook played a very good game. You got to hand it to the young man.
As Ryan from Walford says on the text line, the one guy that I thought couldn't beat us did. Got to tip the hat to Hornibrook. Unfortunately, special teams put our defense in bad situations. this team could still have a special year.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
You can't give Wisconsin the ball at the 10-yard line.
Correct.
And do you throw all the blame on Sean Beyer there?
No.
I think he's trying to make a play, and the communication probably wasn't there.
Alex and I were talking
you have
about
a,
this.
A number or a word,
fire, whatever
it may
the case
be.
May be.
It just didn't look like that happened.
No. And then Groning Wang went and tried to – he let it go. Then he went after it a little bit, backed off, went after it a little bit, and it was not – lack of communication, and it was very loud in there. And you're not going to be able to hear as much. So we'll see. But you know what? Like Joel said – It's a mistake that was made and an invaluable lesson. And did that lose the game? No. Did it help? Was it one of the building blocks, I guess, in the foundation that helped to lose that game? Yeah, absolutely. Same thing with the fumble on the punt and other things that went awry in the ball game. 319-366-1600. As we talk about Iowa and Wisconsin. So what does it all mean? It means Wisconsin now has basically a game and a half lead over the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten West at this particular point.
Tiebreaker is huge.
It's huge. It is huge, and Wisconsin will have it. Iowa has to now flat out beat the Badgers. Now, Wisconsin has a tough schedule from here on out to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa has the advantage right there, but Wisconsin's a pretty good football team. They are a very good football team.
91-85 on the text line. Too many mistakes to win on Saturday, but I think we can still win 10 games. Things could be worse, like Nebraska.
Well, it took till 3:15 to mention the Big Red today. I must say, in the Emil's Hideaway pick six, I gave way too much credit to the Nebraska Cornhuskers at that point. Let's go to the phones. We'll start off with our friend Wally here today on a Monday. Hi, Wally.
Hi, guys. I want to start out my monologue here with commending the two callers that called after I did. I believe, but my topic was Nathan Stanley and the lack of leadership. And it might have been the second caller, but both callers were very important calls. Not only for me, but for the Iowa fans. And lo and behold, the guy that said that look for leadership somewhere else, like maybe changing a play, Iowa State game. I think we had the ball like inside our 30. Stanley's walking up to the line, and I was sitting not too far away so I could see his face. And his eyes got as big as saucers when he saw not only man coverage, but bump and run coverage on Brandon Smith, which would have been to the east side of the field. And Stanley has now learned about two more pitches. He's got a 102-mile-an-hour fastball, a major league slider, and he also can throw a changeup, which he showed everybody on the first touchdown pass to Noah Fant in the Wisconsin game. He rolled his hand underneath the football to take some of the revolutions off it and hit him right on the numbers.
Absolutely.
Still had plenty of velocity on the football. So now, not being so much critical of Nathan Stanley, I'm seeing this guy learning faster than he did last year as a redshirt freshman. Now he's a redshirt sophomore. And he's becoming to be a real good quarterback. And I made a comment to somebody else that has their own show about Stanley having to run the football, and that person completely misconstrued the point I was trying to make. You have to have, especially a guy like Stanley, anybody else that's built like that, that if he gets jammed up in the pocket, he doesn't like his first and second read, and he's got some running room, okay?
Yeah.
He needs to run the football, because what that creates is it keeps the especially the DBs and the linebackers from playing on their toes to stop the run. Okay, so now you're passing the football and they're dropping back. Guess what? If he gets jammed up, like I said, on his one and two reads, look for the best possible running lane he can get in. And remember this, Iowa fans, when he decides to run the football, and I got one more comment.
One more.
When he decides to run the football, he turns in from a quarterback to a tight end with tight end mentality to punish. He's got a mean streak that I don't think anybody saw until the last two times Iowa State DB. Of course, he was diving for the first down, but the Wisconsin DB was paying a price for trying to tackle him. He got practically parallel to the ground and threw his shoulder into the DB. And you don't see that in his face. You can't see that in his face. He looks like a high schooler coming out of the huddle, but he's got linebacker mentality built in there somewhere that he's not going to go down easy. As a matter of fact, if you're going to tackle me, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, baby-faced assassin is what he is right there. Hey, Wallach, got to run, man.
I want to call him. All I got to say is he's a tight end when he decides to run the football. He's not 5'10 and 175 pounds like Nebraska's running quarterback was that's knocked out for I don't know how long unless he's back in the lineup. He's 6 foot, almost five, or he is 6'5, and 240 plus. Here's one last thing.
Wally, got to run. Hey, appreciate you calling in, but we got people lined up and ready to go right here.
Well, Stanley is not a redshirt sophomore either. In fact, he's never been redshirted, and he is a junior. But thanks for the comments, Wally.
Appreciate that. Let's go to Craig in Cedar Rapids about the quarterback sneak call. Hi, Craig.
Hi, guys. If you take close note, football is a game of momentum.
Yep.
When we go back to the 5-yard line, the play call, the quarterback sneak, nothing wrong with the call, but if we go to maybe Torrin Young, Ivory Kelly Martin, or Sargent on an outside play, maybe they get a yard or even score. Well, if you remember, at the beginning of the third quarter, we went deep in the Wisconsin territory and came up with nothing on both occasions. Well, that's a 14-point swing right there. If on both occasions we score, would you guys agree that in terms of momentum, we probably, if not win the game, maybe it's a tie, but completely a different outcome than occurred on Saturday. Would you agree?
Great points, Craig. You bet.
No, definitely. And football is, and like we said on that first quarterback sneak, Iowa was going tempo, and for some reason the play was halted there, and I think they should have probably changed the play call after that happened. But if Iowa goes right up to the line of scrimmage, Wisconsin's not ready, they can't substitute, all that jazz, Iowa goes up there, I think the sneak might work.
How about a play action option? How about a Chuck Long naked bootleg? that may only work once in a generation. I don't know.
Craig, appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, guys. Go Hawks, guys.
321 here on the gym class program. Going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit and get his thoughts about the Hawkeye-Badger game. He was there. Also, Iowa State got their first victory on Saturday as the Cyclones held off Akron in an emotionally charged game over at Jack Trice Stadium as the Cyclones get their first win of the year.
Tough game.
I tell you what.
Akron's pretty good.
I don't think Nebraska wanted anything to do with Akron. Akron's not a bad football team.
Not at all.
Mac's got some good football that's being played over there. Buffalo destroyed Rutgers, but my gosh, who hasn't destroyed Rutgers at this point of the season? We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in a little bit. And also coming up, we're going to talk about a big cycling event that'll be coming up to Iowa City and that area. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit as well. We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about Iowa, Wisconsin, but there was more that occurred over the weekend, and we'll kick that around as well. Gym class coming your way here on KGYM. This week, we have for you, Mark, WWE tickets. They're going to be back at the U.S. Cellular Center at holiday time. And we've got a 4-pack of tickets all this week. Take your shot to see WWE champion AJ Styles take on Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, tag team champions New Day, women's champion Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and more. Coming up.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan won't be there.
Will not be. Neither will
Jake the Snake will not be there.
No.
Okay.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat not going to be there as well, but a lot of present-day legends will be there, and we've got your tickets to win coming up before 4 o'clock today. Back with more after this.
On Sunday, take the dog for a run. Play outside with the kids. Don't spend it on a car lot because you think it's the only day of the week you can look around in peace. At Browns West Branch, you can explore their lot unbothered every day. Sundays are for family, not for dodging salespeople. It's safe to browse at Browns West Branch, so wander the lot of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, along with a nice selection of used vehicles, comfortably any day of the week. And just because Browns West Branch believes in low pressure doesn't mean they don't have great deals. Right now, Browns has new 2018 Ram Bighorns with over $14,000 off MSRP. Or lease a new Grand Cherokee Limited for $319 a month for 36 months with $3,199 down plus tax, dock, and registration fees. See dealer for details. Get to the low-pressure zone at Browns West Branch, just off I-80 at the West Branch exit, part of the Browns family of dealerships. See them online at 4browns.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
People think that I'm not a big firm, I'm not a large company. What would anyone want with my data? But you don't know. Client credit cards, employee information, it's all critically important and it needs to stay secure.
Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. If you ever have a question about how secure is your network, give us a call. We can certainly do an audit.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
KGYM, your home for everything football. Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, NFL, and Smart FM. The soundtrack for your tailgate festivities. In-depth insight from UNASH and Dukes. Todd Brommelkamp with Alex Kuhn and Smart Rock from Smart FM. To get you ready for all the action throughout the fall. From great offense and defense to great Aussie and AC/DC. From before the boom to back in black. Your football entertainment is covered with KGYM and Smart FM.
Friday at 3, tune into 106.3 FM and get ready for Regina football action. Zach Mackey will be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Back with the other gym class at 3:26 here on KGYM. We're going to talk to Mike Loss in a couple of moments here. Just want to kick around other things from the weekend, including the Emil's Hideaway pick six. I know Mark is very anxious to get to this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway pick six. Gee, I wonder why.
Well, after batting 333 my first 3 weeks, that'll get you in the Hall of Fame in some sports, but not in the pick six. I would not have blamed anyone for not picking me, but Steve in Cedar Rapids did. And he's been rewarded with a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. As I went 4-2 in the picks this week, leading the way. Dave Alec 3-3. Everybody else 2-4 except Todd. Todd had a rough week, but he's very thankful for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines because he was on Michigan. Jim Klass gained 2 games on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Now with a 3-game lead, we'll do it again on Friday.
Do it again on Friday as another good round of games we'll be picking. So looking forward to that. Of course, we had college football on Saturday, pro football on Sunday, and something else happening on Sunday as well. Let's get to this real quick. First of all, the 49ers have made it official. Jimmy Garoppolo is out for the season with a tore up knee. And ladies and gentlemen, your new starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is C.J. Beathard. A former Iowa Hawkeye who has been in preseason action before.
And started five or six games last year.
Yeah. And he got in at the end of last year before Jimmy Garoppolo came on board as a starting quarterback. And it is now CJ's, at least for the rest of the season. They're talking about bringing in some more quarterbacks to be a backup, but it sounds like Beathard's the man in San Francisco for 2018.
It's a good team. If CJ plays well, I think it can still be a contender in the division. But that's quite a blow for the 49ers. There's no question about it.
Get out of bounds.
Yeah.
Get out of bounds.
He was trying and his knee just buckled.
Well, he, and I was watching the game, obviously, since they were playing the Chiefs. And he tried to get a couple of extra yards. Can't fault him for that. But in the NFL in this day and age, especially when you touch a quarterback, and usually it's a penalty, the latest Clay Matthews.
I feel bad for Clay Matthews. That's what, 2 weeks in a row, three weeks in a row?
All 3 weeks.
And I disagreed with all of them. Clay Matthews made good hits. It was a football plays.
Or Dick Butkus do right now.
Oh.
Deacon Jones.
Jack Tatum.
Oh, wow. Jack Tatum was a little different.
Ray Nitschke.
Yeah.
Jack Lambert.
And the worst part of it, Clay Matthews knew exactly when he did it.
Because he looked up, yeah.
And he's thinking, no, please, no. And there come the flag.
Something's got to change.
I would agree. But I don't think it's going to change. I think it's going to keep going. And like I said, I think within the next 10 years, you are not going to be able to hit a quarterback. I really think that is going to be the case. Anywhere on the field, perhaps. But I don't know. That's my hot take of the day. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to Mike in a couple of minutes here. Tiger won.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger's back. Congratulations to Tiger. Great for golf. Absolutely fantastic for golf. I'm not going to be that person and say it wasn't, because that I would be wrong. I would be wrong. So I've come to grips with it.
You're not a Tiger lover. I neither hate him or love him. I view it, you know, as a hell of a sports accomplishment. The television ratings for the Tour Championship were up 187% over last year.
Did they?
187%.
Did they outdo football yesterday?
Yes, on football.
Yeah.
A full day of football.
Well, now I will say this, no offense to your Bears, but it wasn't a real good slate of 3:30 games yesterday.
It's still the NFL.
It's still the NFL.
And name me another athlete who moves the needle like that.
There isn't one.
Nobody.
Which brings me to, again, that's the only thing I just cannot wrap my arms around, how Tiger is absolutely forgiven for all of his sins over the last 5 years. And other athletes that have done far, 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 far less can't get back in to their respective sports. But everyone loves Tiger. That's the one thing I can't wrap my arms around. So.
Well, there is that. There is the argument also whether it was the greatest comeback in sports history, which NBC's Dan Hicks, that's his exact quote when Tiger concluded it. And I don't know why you have to have number one and number five and whatever, but
because it's 2018.
I'm of the opinion that, and I'm going to take the opposite side as you, but I think it was, considering all he had been through, much of it self-inflicted back in 2009, 2010, did some horrible things, and he was in a bad spot. And then he went through the back surgeries, three or four of them, ankle problems. In less than a year ago, Scott, he was 1199th in the world. He couldn't walk.
I know.
He could barely pick up a club. And yesterday he won the Tour Championship, and people are saying, well, it wasn't a major. Those 30 players represent as good a field as at least a couple of the majors that I can think about.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the best players in the world.
It was a great win.
And now Tiger's number 13, and no, I don't like some of the things he did, but you have to appreciate what he's overcome, not only his personal life, but his physical issues. And
are his physical issues, though, more than any other person? I thought about this yesterday when I was riding around in my lawn tractor. wrote down a few guys. I mean, Peyton Manning with the neck surgery, was that any less or more than Tiger?
That was fairly seamless, though. He didn't go 5 years without winning.
How about Tommy John? With the original Tommy John surgery.
Rocky Blyer lost his part of a foot in Vietnam and came back to be a part of a Super Bowl team.
Exactly. Alex Zanardi, I can think of 10 race car drivers that, but Alex Zanardi, I'll throw out there, lost both legs in an accident at a kart race in Germany, has come back to win gold medals in Paralympics and in regular competition.
Mm-hmm.
Great accomplishment. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know if it's the greatest of all time. And then I'll throw out Hogan, who was hit by a Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm. His car was.
His car was in 1949. Double fracture of the pelvis, fractured collarbone, left ankle fracture, chipped rib, near fatal blood clots. And also had a blood clot problem that led doctors to tie off his vena cava. Vena cava, whatever. I'm not a doctor. And went on to win six majors after that. And that was 1949-1950 medicine. That wasn't the army that Tiger mm-hmm. had around him of therapists. And again, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into the, oh, it's not. It's great. Tiger winning is great. I'm not saying it's not. But it's... You see what I'm trying to do here?
I do. Hogan's okay. accomplishments after 49 were remarkable. He won 11 tournaments and six majors. In 1953, he won three of the four legs of the Triple Crown. That was truly remarkable after all the injuries that you described. Was it a better comeback than Tiger's? That's for you to debate.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no right answer. Maybe John in Iowa City has a right answer. We'll get to John, and then we'll get to Mike Loss. How you doing, John?
Doing good, guys. Yeah, I think some of this, and I'm not saying that you're doing it, okay? So don't pound on me now. But I think some of this is that there is a backlash from the social issues, right? I mean, I think if we were talking about what Tiger did, minus some of the issues outside of golf 10 years ago, this would be much more of a large accomplishment from the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to seep into the psyche of most people. What Hogan did was absolutely phenomenal, especially at his age. And like I said, there's several examples. From the competition, the top 30 golfers in the world, Tiger's been doing this now for 6 months straight. He was leading the Open going into the last nine holes in the last round. Is this the most dynamic thing ever in sports? I don't know. I'm like, he's got, I don't know. It's pretty incredible. You know, at age 42, going through back surgeries in a single sport. I do think, my point, I think some of the social back has given people pause as to kind of maybe the accomplishments that he's done as far as the physical attributes that he has.
Right. Right. No, good perspective.
Great points, John.
Good perspective.
I mean, what he did in 2009 and 2010 with his then wife and all the mistresses and whatnot, I think that's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah,
and the OWIs.
Yeah. Obviously, Tiger Woods is the only pro athlete who's ever done something like that, correct?
Oh, no. Right? No, not at all.
No one's ever done this. It's only Tiger Woods.
No.
I do think he has been such a, I mean, he changed the face of golf. I mean, I'm a huge Nicklaus fan. I always think that Jack is the GOAT. But I do think with that has probably blemished a lot of people. And so, therefore, he doesn't maybe not get a fair shake sometimes. Definitely. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. Hey, John, appreciate the call. Thanks. 319-366-1600.
On the text line, 1485, Ray Rice couldn't get a job again, and Tiger is now worshipped. Is that really apples?
That's apples and oranges a little bit. That's just apples and oranges.
9579, I don't believe your comment about Tiger's past transgressions to be even remotely true. There are players in the NFL now who have done far worse things, yet still have fans wearing their jerseys and cheering for them on Sundays. Tiger is not the first athlete, nor will he be the last, to be forgiven in the name of sports.
Very true. I admit that.
Unless you're Ray Rice.
Well, again, apples and oranges right there with that situation. All right, you ready to talk to Mike?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. Mike Halas joins us after this.
Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
eFinancial makes buying life insurance easier thanks to a mix of
technology
and personal service. When you call, our agents listen to learn your needs.
Then utilize our cutting-edge platform to search options from leading companies.
You get the right coverage at the right price thanks to our blend of
advanced computer algorithms and
plain old conversation. Get covered today. Call 1-866-244-5580.
Or visit efinancial.com.
That's efinancial.com.
Easily remove dirt, dust, and grime with Armor All Canister Wipes. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up two Armor All Canister Wipes for $8. Plus, you'll earn double O Rewards points during O Rewards Member Appreciation Month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Back with you on the Gym Class KGYM. We're going to talk to Mike Halas, and as we get started with Mike, we're going to give you an opportunity to pick up that 4-pack of tickets to see WWE action coming to the U.S. Cellular Center. That is going to be coming up on Monday, November the 26th. We got a 4-pack of tickets today as well as the rest of the week for you to win. So caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You are going to pick those tickets up. We'll let you know who our winner is coming up in just a little bit. Mike Halas was in Iowa City on Saturday night for Iowa and Wisconsin. Joins us on Mondays here in the Gym Class on KGYM. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Well, man alive, what a sports weekend. What a weekend.
What did I miss?
Oh, gosh. Great game on Saturday night. Probably better
well,
if you...
I guess I was there, yeah. Okay.
And then a little history made yesterday. How much history, I guess, is up to everybody out there. But we talked about that a little bit. But Iowa, Wisconsin first. Iowa had an opportunity, definitely, to come away with a leg up in the Big Ten West, but you got to give Alex Hornibrook credit and the Wisconsin Badgers for a good fourth quarter.
Yeah, Hornibrook was really good, really good. I thought Iowa was going to win that game. I mean, I thought that midway through the fourth quarter. It felt like it to me, and, you know, I don't know a lot, but usually my feelings are pretty good during a game, and Iowa has the ball in a 17-14 lead, and it's moved down to the 47 of Wisconsin with about 6.5 or 7 minutes left. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to be talking about, you know, what do they have to do to go to Indianapolis now? And they had a pair of incompletions on passes where the defensive line simply overwhelmed Iowa's offensive line, didn't give Stanley a chance, and all of a sudden it's 4th and 5, they punt, Wisconsin's got the ball at its 12, and it's Hornibrook time, 88 yards, you know, in 10 plays, great pass to win it, ball game, and a hard, hard loss for Iowa.
I had similar feelings, Mike, throughout much of that game, in the second half in particular, but I'm curious if you came away from the game with thoughts more favorable or unfavorable towards Iowa's chances the rest of the year?
Well, I think they're a really good team. I thought so before Saturday, but Saturday just reinforced it. I mean, that was a coin flip game, except for Wisconsin played it cleaner, which, mm-hmm. you know, that it's like, you know, other than that, I'd like to play Mrs. Lincoln. But, I mean, Iowa has three turnovers, Wisconsin none, and there's your game in a nutshell. But, I mean, the yardage was almost identical. The rushing, both teams, 4.8 yards a carry. I thought that Wisconsin's offensive line was better than Iowa's. I think that's, you know, I don't think that's disputable. And that was a difference in the game, the way Wisconsin's line played. The Badgers' offense was very efficient when it needed to be, and it took a lot of time off the clock, 210 rushing yards. It was Wisconsin football. It wasn't the Wisconsin team that we saw a week earlier, and so maybe we were deceived. But it goes to show in sports and in football how one week doesn't always connect to the next.
Yeah, I think if we may all agree that you go into this game thinking that Iowa's going to make Hornibrook beat him, Iowa's got a hell of a chance, and it was just the opposite.
He's good. I mean, he's a veteran, and this wasn't his first time that he's won a big game. I mean, look, this team's won 16 straight regular season games in the Big Ten, and they gave Ohio State a wonderful game in Indianapolis last year and almost won. Had the ball with a chance to win it. And he's got good players. I mean, they have good football players. All the talk is always how big they are. And, yeah, okay, they're big. But they put a lot of players in the NFL. They put a lot of running backs in the NFL. They put a quarterback in the NFL, a couple, actually, if you count Wilson's 1 year. They put a lot of defensive players in the NFL. And, you know, there's a reason why they've done all the winning they've been doing for so long and under different coaches. I mean, Iowa has lost 6 of the last 7 to Wisconsin. That covers 3 different Wisconsin coaches. That's crazy, I think. You know, in fact, of Wisconsin's last 4 coaches, the only one Ferentz has a winning record against is Barry Alvarez.
Did you know Jay Ferguson is Barry Alvarez's grandson? No, just
did not know that.
Yeah, okay.
It was mentioned a couple times on TV. Yeah.
I digress a little bit. Is Wisconsin in Iowa's head a little bit, do you think, or is just one of those deals?
No, I mean, I thought this was just a great grunt and groan, rock 'em sock 'em game. When Iowa, you know, has that bonehead play and touches the punt at the 10-yard line, and Wisconsin capitalizes to go ahead 14-10. It seems so ominous. And what does Iowa do? It takes the ball and goes 75 yards on a touchdown drive. That was a sign of, okay, you know, we're good too. And you know, it stays 17-14 for a while. But when, you know, it was do or die, Wisconsin, you know, pulled everything together and just away they went. And you got to tip your hat to them. You really do. I mean, to come in that environment, play turnover-free football, and to do what they had to do in the last 5 minutes of that game, that's what a winning team does.
Well, a bye week coming up, and then Iowa, it appears, will be favored in 7 of its last 8 games. I don't think that's a stretch by any means, but, Mike, I'm looking at 4 of the next 5, all on the road. That is a pivotal stretch in my mind.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, a Big Ten schedule is a Big Ten schedule. Nothing changes. But it's a weird schedule this year, and playing 4 out of 5 on the road is strange. I mean, they don't have that first road experience yet and won't until October the 6th. And they go to Minnesota. Minnesota's got problems. So it's 3-1, but it's got problems. It got walloped at Maryland, and it's had its best offensive and best defensive players knocked out for the season with injuries. They lost their safety, Antoine Winfield, Saturday. They'd already lost running back Rodney Smith, who's just a terrific player. And they're very young to begin with. So, I mean, look, yeah, you're going on the road, but you're not going to be playing in Wisconsin for a while again until you get to Penn State. And so they go to Minnesota and Indiana, and it's like, okay, if Iowa plays to its talent level, I think Iowa wins those two games. It's just going to be a matter of consistency to do it week after week after week in all these road games. And, you know, that's much easier said than done.
Season is not lost, though, by just one loss.
No, Scott. It's not. What is lost is a chance to get an arm bar on the Big Ten West. Not a full Nelson, but a grip on it. Where you've got Wisconsin behind you, and the question is, can you keep them behind you? What you still have is a chance for double-digit wins, a chance to, you know, go to a great bowl, and you don't know what's going to happen to Wisconsin. They still have to go to Michigan, and like Iowa, they have to go to Penn State. And I think Penn State is one of those teams that they're very good, but they're not invincible. They've been a hard team to read over four games. A couple of weeks, they've just been dynamic, and a couple other times, not as much. So, and Iowa has historically competed very well at Penn State most of the time. So, I don't discount anything. You know, what you said, favored in seven of the next eight, I would say yes. And I would also say, in my mind, that Penn State game might be just slightly less than 50-50.
By the way, that Minnesota game, October 6th, has been announced as a 2:30 game. That in the Twin Cities. And have you seen anything that would indicate Ohio State might have any trouble in the other division?
Well, they just lost Nick Bosa for what may be the season. Mm-hmm. I think it will be the season. So you're talking about their best defensive player. So that's no good. And, they're not going to have a walk. They're very good, as always, but, they go to Penn State Saturday. They can lose.
Mm-hmm.
True. You mentioned guys that have been out as far as Minnesota, Northwestern also announcing that their terrific runner, Larkin's going to be, he's had to give up his football career for a
neck injury,
of some sort anyway, and not good news right there. And Iowa was going to face a whole stable of great running backs throughout the year. Now it has with Montgomery, it has with Taylor, although the other two Wisconsin backs were pretty good the other night as well.
They were.
Might be a slim pickings until they get to Happy Valley, but we'll see. We'll see. Everyone's Division I for a reason.
That's right. We don't want to talk the Minnesota game to death this week when they're still next week, but that's been a tough game for Iowa the last 4 years. Iowa's won three of them, but they haven't blown out the Gophers in that time. Maybe this is the year, but these are good coaches, good players, of course. So the thing is, you put so many eggs in that Wisconsin basket that when the game's over with, it's kind of almost like a reboot. Okay, let's see what's really what is, I think Iowa's got a pretty good team, and I agree with what Fern said after the game Saturday. He thinks that they can get better, and if they do get better, look, there were some moments Saturday night that were pretty dynamic. Good drives, and there were, the defense, while it gave up a lot more than it had in the first three games, it certainly had some moments too. So, it's there aren't many teams in the Big Ten West that you'd want to trade places with.
You've covered a lot of professional golf, Mike, many majors. How would you characterize what Tiger did yesterday?
Well, I think all you needed to do was show the snapshot or the video clip of him walking down the 18th hole with thousands of people following him like the Pied Piper. That's just one of those scenes that sort of transcend sports,
Mm-hmm.
It was, okay, this tells you all you need to know about the state of golf and about the state of celebrity and whatever else. It was the biggest story in sports yesterday on an NFL Sunday, which that's almost bizarre. And there's nobody else certainly in golf, but I'm not sure there's anybody else in sports that would command that kind of adoration and that kind of caring.
I think Ali back in the day, maybe, but the television
rating. Oh, yeah, I'm talking now.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. Television ratings up 187% yesterday over last year for the Tour Championship on an NFL Sunday. And nobody even realized it was Hawk Carlson's last game on the air.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting to me is it has been 5 years since he'd won. And, young adults maybe aren't that dialed into how great he was in his prime. And yet, the grip that he's got over people, it's very interesting, It really is.
What are you going to do in your off week? Well, the Hawkeye off week. Iowa State's not home.
He's going fishing with Morehouse.
You going fishing with Morehouse?
I got something medical this week that I'm certainly not going to talk about here. But I'm still working. I'm going to try and find something different this weekend from a football bent. And a week goes by fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Well, best of luck with whatever you go with. And we'll talk to you coming up next Monday.
Yes, I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Michael Oss joining us here on Gym Class on KGYM at 3:55. Kool-Aid in Cedar Rapids. Going to go see the WWE on us. Merry Christmas, Kool-Aid. So we'll have more tickets for you to win throughout the week here on KGYM. Going to talk to Nick Pfeiffer coming up here in just a moment about a big cycling event that is coming up in Iowa City. And Nick going to tell us a little bit more about that coming up. So we'll look forward to that. And then tomorrow we'll talk some Major League Baseball. Final week, 26th week of the Major League Baseball season. A lot of tickets have been punched as far as the postseason is concerned, and a few left to be punched. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And then Kristen from over at Kirkwood is going to join us as well, talk about coaching authorizations. So we'll talk about that on the Tuesday edition of the program. We're going to talk some TCU football as well, as Iowa State will be in Fort Worth to take on the Horned Frogs coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, next week we'll effort Cal Eldred. Of course, the Royal season will be over.
That's
correct. I'm sure you'd like to weigh in on the playoffs, so we'll let you know if and when that happens.
All right, there you go. We're going to bring in Nick Pfeiffer here to talk about the cycling happenings coming up in Iowa City. And, Nick, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Let the folks know about you got a big event coming up.
That's right. It is the World Cup of Cyclocross Bicycle Racing, and it's happening all weekend here at the Johnson County Fairgrounds in Iowa City. We'll be welcoming in racers from all over the world for the World Cup races on Saturday afternoon, but there's other pro races on Friday night under the lights and on Sunday, and then a lot of amateur races in between.
Why Iowa City? How did this all happen?
Well, the Jingle Cross event, which started as a Christmas-themed event, happened about 15 years ago, and it's just grown and grown and grown. And 3 years ago, we were able to excite the UCI, the international governing body of all things cycling, and they like the course, they like our hospitality. Actually, last year's race, we were named the host of the year out of the 10 World Cup race courses in the world. So, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but the cycling community of Iowa City really embraces this event, and that helps out a lot.
Tell us, if people don't know, what is cyclocross? What are they going to be seeing in Iowa City this weekend?
Yeah, cyclocross is kind of a combination of mountain biking and road biking. What they'll be racing on grass, on dirt, on mud, through sand. They'll go over obstacles where they have to get off of their bike. If you've ever been out to the Johnson County Fairgrounds, you know there's this huge hill in the back. Well, we call that Mount Crumpet, and racers have to either ride, the strongest ones can ride straight up that thing and then come down. The less strong racers, they might have to get off their bikes and carry it up that hill. And it's fast-paced, so each race, especially in the World Cup races, takes about an hour. You know, they're going around this course, which is about a 3-mile-long course, and they'll go around it about 15 to 20 times. It's a timed event, so it's based on time. But last year was the first year that I really got to experience it, and I never would have thought that sounded all that interesting to me. But once you're out there and you hear all the bells ringing and the fans cheering, and the nice thing is that there's an announcer out there that's like, it's like you're watching on TV and they're telling you what's going on. They've got that out there. So you can come out, not know anything about anything, and still be informed as to what's going on, who's leading, if somebody crashed, what happened to them. That makes it a lot of fun.
All right. Before we let you go here, Nick, is it free to the public? What do people have to do? How can they enjoy this coming up this weekend?
Yep, it's free to the public, 100% free the whole way. Come on out to the fairgrounds. Or if you want, you can take a shuttle. We've got a free shuttle coming from downtown Iowa City that you can get on at the corner of Dubuque and Iowa, or at the corner of Gilbert and Iowa. Excuse me, Dubuque and Burlington and Gilbert and Iowa. So come on out for that. We've got a free Pork Tornadoes concert going on at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. So if racing's not your thing, come on out for that. That's also free. There's plenty of beer on tap, and we'll be looking for a good time.
Great for Hawkeye off week. You can still get your
right.
your fix right there.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, jinglecross.com is the website. Jinglecross.com.
Check it out, everybody. And Nick, appreciate your time. And best of luck to you and all the cyclists coming up, and everybody with putting on the show this weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Scott.
You bet. Nick Pfeiffer joining us, talking about cyclocross in Iowa City coming up this weekend. We'll get you a bottom of the hour Sports Center at the bottom of the hour with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Talking MLB tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of the program. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming up next.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative, member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's